Good evening, everybody. Good evening. All the big crowd.
I just listened to the funeral of George Bush.
Yeah.
Did you hear it?
I didn't hear
his
it.
His son spoke beautifully, and there was another man who spoke who was a senator, a very close friend. He was so funny. He was, brilliant. Funny, but brilliant. It was just very, very impressive. That very impressive family. Patricians.
Okay. Vayhi mikesh shnatayim yamim uparo cholem chalom. So after 2 years, Pharaoh is dreaming a dream. The thing is that the way it's written, it's not the right way to write it. Vayhi mikesh shnatayim yamim vayachalom paro. And Pharaoh is dreaming. But what's dreaming is, Pharaoh is dreaming like it looks like, and one of them in the dream said that he was dreaming for 2 years, but he woke up and he forgot the dream. Why? This is to indicate that Yosef really should have got out of jail 2 years ago.
2 years previous.
But because he said to the Sarah Mashkim,
Twice,
remember me, so every time he said it, he had to stay another year in jail. Because it was not like he didn't show enough trust in God. God doesn't need help to be reminded that he has to get out. Time comes, he will get out. So here also, the idea is to understand and realize that two things. First of all, Pharaoh is dreaming this dream, but he wakes up in the morning. But at that particular morning, he remembers the dream, and nevertheless, he remembers the dream so strongly that he has to find a solution. What is this dream all about? Also, this day, what we're talking, Mikesh Natayim, is exactly Rosh Hashanah. Also, the dreams of Sarah Bofim and Sarah Mashkim, the baker and the wine, or whatever you call it, they were also in Rosh Hashanah, because in Rosh Hashanah, we decided what's going to happen. So also, this dream of Pharaoh is on Rosh Hashanah.
How do you know that was in Rosh Hashanah?
So it was exactly 2 years. Now, all the dreams are connected. Why is it so important for us that the Torah has to tell us that is this exact day? Because this is a special day. Why is it so special? It's Rosh Hashanah, when it's been decided what's going to happen on the whole year. Then also, we have to understand and realize the reason that Joseph is getting out of jail is not the dream of Pharaoh. Pharaoh dreams a dream because it is time for Joseph to get out of jail. In other words, it's like the Chafetz Chaim used to give to tell the story that about this guy comes to the train station and he sees this guy that whistles with a whistle and the doors open, the door closed, the train goes, the door stops. So he comes and starts asking questions, very difficult question about the train. He said, those questions you have to ask the manager, not me. Well, I thought that you are, you decide when the train goes, when the train says, I'm just whistling at the time that it has to go out or has to stop. I'm just a messenger, I'm just a servant, I'm not the manager. If you want the manager, you have to go up to the offices up there and then you can meet the manager. And that's exactly the same thing. We see things happening and we think that this guy did it, the other guy did it. No, it's God. God is behind everything. And exactly here also, it's not that Pharaoh dreams, and because of Pharaoh's dream and that Joseph saw the dream, he's released of jail. It was the time for Joseph to get out of jail. And then we see also that Joseph learned his lesson, because he's coming out of jail and he's standing in front of Pharaoh, which is the king of the, the most powerful ancient
empire,
and he doesn't have even to move his finger, just has to wink with his eyes and they're going to kill him. And no problem. This is Pharaoh. And this slave comes from jail and tells Pharaoh right in front, says, I heard that you are
a dreamer.
You have the abilities to solve dreams. Says, me? I've got no abilities. God. Hashem Yanet Chalom Paro. God is going to give you the right answer. And you know, you're talking about Pharaoh, that he tells everybody he is God. And this slave comes and tells Pharaoh, you're not a God. There is another God, which is the Almighty, and he is the real God. And in the end of the story, he admits, Pharaoh admits himself,
that
you are, yeah, you have the spirit of God, and God is talking through you, and God told you what to say. So this is really Kiddush Hashem. This is really showing us that, first of all, Joseph learned his lesson, and now he's at that level of trusting God that he doesn't even care. He's upset. There is only one thing in this world, and that's God. And it's a very important lesson to learn. Now we have to understand there are a lot of strange things in our parsha. Really strange things. We see that the dreams are really simple dreams. What do we talk? Fat cows, thin cows, thick wheat, thin wheat. What are we talking about? Food. And it comes out of the Yaor, of the river. You're talking about water, food. That's what you're talking about. And how can it be that all those wise people didn't know this simple solution? And Joseph just comes, whip, and gives them the solution. And it, when you hear the solution, it sounds so reasonable, so logical. You see it in the picture. What's going on here? Then we have the brothers coming to Egypt, and one of the reasons they come is to look for their brother that they sold years ago. And he stands in front of them, and as we said, he looks like his father. So the excuse that he was a young boy, that he didn't have a beard, and so now he was grown up and they didn't recognize him, is also not exactly an excuse, because, as we know, he looks like the same as his father. So when they look at him now, when he's an adult, when he's got a beard on, he looks exactly like Yaakov, their father. So he's in front of you, don't see that it is it. And then all the behavior. They see that he eats different food. He takes them to his palace. What? The ruler of Egypt, he is dealing and willing with the food and things like this. And they come to him, and then he invites them to eat. There are a lot of very strange people, strange things in the parsha. So first of all, we have to understand and realize, whatever it is, God is leading the way. And if God wants, you see what God wants you to see. You love who God wants you to love. Because sometimes God interferes even in those things that you have the ability to choose. I don't like this excuse, because this is the easiest way to go out. Just you always can say, okay, why is it? Because God decided like this. Okay, I know that God decided like this, but there must be a lesson for us.
And besides this, if it's like this, he take your free choice.
That's a different issue. We're not going to go into it now. But no. You have to understand, because sometimes God does things when you get to a certain limit. But I always, when I hear those explanation, I always try to find a different explanation. Because the Torah is not a story. Whatever we read in the Torah is really something that we have to learn on our life now. Like we say in Al HaNisim, Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh. Decide. Those miracles we're talking about happened then, not now. So it's Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazeh. What's the idea? The idea is to understand, realize that whatever we read in the Torah is forever. It's not something that happened years ago. It's something that's happening now. So, okay, so what is the Torah trying to tell us with what's happening here? That from one side we see those wise people of Pharaoh cannot find a simple solution right in front of their eyes. From the other side, the brothers that come, and one of the reasons that they come is to look for their brother. Now, if they just came with no intention to look for Joseph, I can understand, you know, it's not in their mind, they cannot even believe that Joseph is now in charge or everything. But as we know, that they went to look for him, so, you know, you look around, you see, you ask, you look at people, you see, that, and you remember the dreams. What were the dreams? That they're all going to bow to him. And suddenly they get to the palace and they bow to this guy. And this guy, just look at him. He looks like Yaakov. So how can it be? Shlomo HaMelech said, Ivelet Adam tesalef darko ve'al Hashem yizaf libo. When we have a way and we decide that that's the right way, so we see what we want to see, and what we don't want to see, we just don't see. The brothers, first of all, cannot even imagine that it's possible that this Joseph they sold, he is the guy wearing those royal clothes, This is Joseph. It cannot even come to their mind. And nevertheless, if it is Joseph, it means that all their life they lived in a mistake. In a big, they did a big, terrible mistake. Mm-hmm. So in this case, they just don't want to see Joseph there. So he's not there. Doesn't matter what happened to them. And a lot of things happening, and very strange things, but they still don't see. And that's a big lesson for us.
It's called being in denial.
Yes, and that's a big lesson for us. And we do the same thing, in a small way. Maybe, I hope in a small way. Yes, I hope in a small way. We decide something, so we find all the excuses to do it. And we don't see in front of us the obstacles, we don't see anything because we want to get it. Or if we think something is right, you try and convince the guy that it's wrong. You know, sometimes you hear arguments between people and you listen to them and say, what's the argument here? Well, doesn't this guy see that he's got a big mistake? No, because he doesn't want to see the mistake. So he will try to convince you that he's right. And that's a big lesson for us to know, that we have to understand and realize in life, we have sometimes to check ourselves. Are we doing the right thing? Or are we doing what the Yetzer Hara wants to do? And that's exactly all the idea of Chanukah. Chanukah is to light the night, to light and give us the right way to see things, the right light to see things. Pharaoh with his dreams. It's also a very simple excuse that, you know, those are wise people, that they cannot believe that the dream is so simple. It's like sometimes to us, we've got this guy, which is a very clever guy, a professor in university, and he's asking you a simple question that, let's say, somebody in Kita Aleph can ask you. So you will start thinking, wow, maybe it can't be that simple. It's like, you know, it's a well-known story, I think I told it also to you in the past. When in the States, they went to the space and they had a problem with the astronauts. Because when you go up in space, there's no gravitation and sometimes you're upside down and you need to write things. And the pen cannot write if it's upside down. So they invested really millions in order to invent this special pen. Till now, I think you can buy it in the planes, that it writes in any position. Millions. Now, the Russian Soviet Union had the same problem, but they didn't have all the billions of dollars to invest in trying to find a solution. So what did they do? Use the pencil.
So then the
pencil writing anywhere doesn't matter. Word, you can write up, upside down, whatever. And you know, it's so simple that you just, and that's what's happening when you have a problem. So because you are in a special certain environment, you try to find, wow, it's a problem. Wow, I have to find this sophisticated solution. Now the Russian, they didn't have any problem. We need to find something that can write. We haven't got. They didn't even think about investing in this. So right away, they found a simple solution. While the Americans invested billions of dollars in order to invent this pen. And this is exactly in life. We think that something so complicated and it's so simple. And that's exactly what's happening now. The wise people hearing the dreams of Pharaoh cannot be so simple. So they try to find these sophisticated things. The thing is, when we want to go to the bottom of it, why is Pharaoh believing this simple solution from Joseph?
No, also.
He also is a very clever guy, and he sees all those wise people trying to find those solution, and this guy comes and gives him such a simple solution that nobody sees. Maybe Pharaoh himself. Why does he believe Joseph? Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal writes about it and he gives a proof that is written inside. When we look very carefully in the parsha, we'll find out something very interesting. He dreams. Now, he dreams a dream, and in the middle of the dream, we then with the seven cows, and then And he slept. Vayikatz Paro, he woke up and he slept and he dreamt again. This is now Pasuk.
Just in the beginning.
Pasuk 5. Yeah, that's the beginning of the Parsha. It's the beginning of the Parsha. The dream of Pharaoh. Vayimiketz, the beginning of the Parsha. When we see that in Pasuk 5 is written, Vayikatz Paro, Vayishan Vayichalom Shenit, is dreaming and is sleeping and dreaming again. And then comes the story with the Shibolim. And then, Vayikatz Paro Vinechalom. Okay? And then in the morning, he understands something happened here and he has to know. So, at the Pasuk 8, he says, Vayisaper Paro Lahem, to all the clever people, the wise people of Egypt, et chalomo, his dream, ve'en poter otam lefaro. Or nobody has got a solution for Pharaoh. Now,
how he knows there is no solution? This is the question.
No, the question is, I understand they cannot find a solution. But I cannot understand why does he believe Joseph that he's got a solution. Right now, all the wise people cannot solve the dreams.
And Yosef is even more. He gives the solution and his chutzpah.
He tells him also an advice. Yes. Now, we'll make it short. How many dreams did Pharaoh dream?
Two.
Two.
No. That really was one.
The Shibboleth and the Paro.
So see what he's saying. See what he's saying. Look what he's saying. Pasuk 8. The end of the Pasuk. Vayisaper paro lahem et.
Et chalomo echad.
And what do they do?
Ve'en poter otam.
They thought, yeah, like we thought in the beginning, that we're talking here about two dreams. Mm-hmm. But the real truth is, it was only one dream. Mm-hmm. Now he's telling them the dream in a certain way that they think it's two dreams. Mm-hmm. The minute that they tell him it's two dreams, he understands, Pharaoh, that whatever they're going to tell him,
it's not right,
because it's not two dreams, it's one dream. Now, what is the problem? Why is it so important to find the solution of the dream? It's also part of the idea. There is what we say, chalom betoch chalom. A dream in a dream. What does it mean? When you dream that you wake up and you go to sleep and you dream, and it's all in your dream, it's a part of prophecy. It's one of 60 of prophecy. Echad mishishim benevoah. Now that if you dream, and in your dream, you go to sleep, wake up, go to sleep again. In other words, a dream in a dream. It's one of 60 of prophecy. And that's why he understood, Pharaoh, that he has to find a solution. And that's why he said only on the end he says, Ve'ine chalom. So till now, it was all a part of the story of the chalom. Now, look what happens when he's telling the dream to Joseph.
It's changed.
Vayedaber paro el Yosef bechalomi, in my dream. And he starts telling him about the dream. And in the middle he tells him, Vayikatz Va'ere b'chalomi, va'ikatz, I woke up and I saw in my dream, but he doesn't tell that he's going to sleep again. I woke up and I saw in my dream. In other words,
he's still sleeping.
And then at the end, he doesn't say anything. Because he tries to see if Joseph will find out the thing. In the end, he's saying, and I told this to the Chartumim. Ven Magidli, nobody told me. So what is Joseph saying in Pasuk?
That is all is one.
27? Yeah. No, 24. Pasuk 24. Yes, 24?
25.
Vayomer Yosef el Paro.
25.
Chalom Paro.
One dream.
He tells him, you can try and tell me stories,
yeah,
and put it and try to trick me, but the real truth is, it's not two dreams, it's one dream. And that moment, Pharaoh realizes that this guy is the guy.
He's the real deal.
Exactly, yeah. He's the real deal, because he's the only one who is telling him right in front, your dream is one dream, it's not two dreams. And it's an unbelievable way to see how things are written sometimes inside.
Mm-hmm.
So simple to see if you try and learn, because that's the beauty of the Torah. And it's not the only places. A lot of places when we find the solution written in front of our eyes, as we said before, especially this parsha, and we don't see it. As the brothers of Joseph didn't see it, and as the wise people of Pharaoh didn't see it. This is why we have what we call in Hebrew "latzet ma'kufsa," lachshov mi'chutz, to think out of the box. So, okay, we see, as we just said, Joseph is not only telling him what the dream is about; he is telling him what he has to do. He becomes an advisor. You know, this guy 2 minutes ago was in jail.
Yeah.
And now he's standing in front of Pharaoh. He's got the chutzpah to tell Pharaoh that what to do.
Well, he's Jewish.
But yeah. But nevertheless, what is Pharaoh saying? Wow. Okay, you do it.
Yeah.
This is really something
amazing.
Unbelievable.
This guy is a slave. And you're putting now...
Nobody wasn't.
In the eyes of Pharaoh, he's a slave.
Yeah, of course.
He, by the way, that's... But it wasn't easy, because there was a law in Egypt, a slave cannot get a high position. So and even though he gave Joseph the highest position in Egypt, and then he was very happy when he found out that he's not a slave. When his father came to Egypt, when Yaakov came to Egypt, Pharaoh was more happy than Joseph. Why? Because all those years people were talking about him putting a slave in that. So some of it says he's possibly he's not a slave. Couldn't be a slave, because otherwise Pharaoh wouldn't put it in. Others said he's a slave. And then when Yaakov came and everybody found out the real truth, so Pharaoh was very happy about it.
I mean,
when Yaakov came, the famine stopped. They not only knew who Yaakov was. Yaakov proved that he is. They felt. Yes, they felt who he was. So, what is this idea giving here an advice to Pharaoh? The real truth is that that's a part of the solution of the dream, because the dream says very clearly that the fat cows will be swollen.
Yeah.
By the thin cows.
Yeah.
So in other words,
they will be
eaten.
Swallowed.
Swallowed by the... And there will be... And the thin cows will stay the same. And it always reminds me, you know, we're talking about the slim... That is the slim cows eating the fat cows. It's like you go into the... years ago, I went to this fancy restaurant and cost a fortune to go there. And you get this big plate covered up with this big cover, and then all the waiters, they take it up, and then you see
a little nothing
in the middle of this big plate. You see something like this,
like,
and then after you finish the meal, you go to Falafel Bezalel in Tel Aviv to eat. So it always reminds me the thin cows eating the fat cows, and lo nodaki ba'el kirbam, they didn't feel anything. So I said, this is unbelievable. Okay, so the idea is very simple. If I want to make sure that in the bad years there will be food, I have to take from the fat cows before they're going to be eaten by the... So in other words, he tells him apart, and that's why it's twice. Once it's with the cows, and then it's with the wheat. So in other words, that's the solution. And now we have to understand, why is he telling Tzarich Ish Chacham Benavo? You need a clever, wise guy, like a very clever guy, to deal with this. It sounds very simple. You know, you take, you put, you open warehouses and you put all the harvest in, and you have food for the bad years. What's the big problem? So why do you need somebody chacham v'navon? So first of all, one of the, there is a story about this king, who his daughter, the princess, become very ill, and all the doctors couldn't save her, and she was really getting worse and worse. So the king didn't have any other option, so he put out an announcement that he doesn't care who it is. Everybody who thinks he can cure the princess is welcome. And there was this doctor, this in not far away from the palace, and he was like, he wasn't, let's say maybe he wasn't from the right party or whatever, but he couldn't take any good position, though he was very good, but nobody knew about him because everybody was putting putting him aside. Nobody gave him a job. And when he heard about the illness and heard the details, he thought that he knows the solution, and it's very simple. So he comes to the palace and says, okay, can I crush it? Of course, what has he got to lose? Nobody can find the cure. He looks at the princess, checks her, and he really, he knows that it's so simple, the cure is so simple. But he knows that if he's going to say it's simple, he's not going to get out of the palace. Or let's say he will be out of the palace, but it will not survive out of the palace for 2 minutes. Because if all the doctors will see how simple the solution is, they will kill him, because it means that they will lose their jobs. So what did this doctor say? He says, you see, the cure sounds simple, but you need a very clever doctor in order to mix in the right way all the potions and things. Ah, all the
doctors were relieved.
Ah. And that's exactly what Joseph is doing. Joseph knew, if I'm going to say the solution of the dream, and it's so simple, so stupid, I'm not going to end it there. This is not the land. This is, you know, Egypt at that time, you know, you kill people.
Left and right.
So if he will not survive a day. So what did he say? You need a clever so all the wise people they kind of came down. And this is why it's written, the solution, the matzachem b'enei faro ve'avadav. Who cares that the slave liked the solution? But that's the point. It gave a solution that everybody liked. And this, even all those wise people and all the servants and everybody that was trying to solve the dreams couldn't do it, now he was relieved. Because, you know, also Pharaoh can get crazy. Says, why? You didn't see this simple solution?
Killed everybody.
He killed all his ministers. So now, he says, okay, you are the guy. You do it. So, of course, we see the hand of God here also in everything. But the thing is that the big lesson here is that we have to open our eyes and look at things in the right light. And that's exactly the idea of Hanukkah. There are so things that hinting on Hanukkah light. Now, what is Hanukkah? The Gemara is asking this question, Mai Hanukkah? And this is a very strange question. You know, our sages don't ask Mai Purim, what is Purim? They don't ask what is Pesach, or what is Sukkot, but they ask Mai Hanukkah? Sorry, you go to the kindergarten and you ask the kids, what is Hanukkah? And everybody will tell you. There was this light, the shemen, the oil, and it was, instead of one day, it was written for 8 days. Everybody knows it. And our sages didn't know it. So what is this question? This question is directed directly to what we say in Al HaNisim. What do we say in Al HaNisim? And when you look through it, you will find out that there is no miracle of Pach HaShemen. There's no miracle about the light that was supposed to light only one night, that it was written for 8 nights. Not written there. Nothing mentioned about the miracle of the candle. Why? This is very strange. While our sages tell us that what we do in Hanukkah is we light the candle. Now decide, what is the miracle of Hanukkah? Is it the light or is it the war? What's going on here? Why is it not mentioned in Dal HaNisim? Why is it not mentioned? The miracle of a light or a candle that lights for 8 days is not a big deal. Because in the first temple, there was the Ner HaMa'aravi, there was a candle, it was lit the whole year with no problem. So this is not such a big miracle if a light goes for 8 days. So why did our sages decide that this is the sign of Hanukkah? Very simple reason. If the idea was that only the thing of the few won the plenty and the pure when the impure, so what will people say? Kochi ve'otzem yadi. They will find a way to say it was nature. We, the Maccabim, were very brave. By the way, you have a proof today. You have a sport a group that calls Maccabi. And it's so not what the Maccabi resent. It's not something that reminds the Maccabim. But that is the idea in the street. Like the Six-Day War. After the war, all those albums that came out, and there was nothing mentioned about God. And everybody know, if you open your eyes, you see the miracles. What, did somebody really believe that this small country, with this small army, won the war by themselves against all the Arab countries around us? Does somebody really think like this?
Yes.
Yes. And nevertheless, they also went to London, where there is a special institute that investigates all the wars and all the battles, mm-hmm. and they come to conclusions what to learn from it and what to, and then they teach it in the officer's military school. So our general, the Maccabim, they came to them and they asked, "Tell us what did you learn from our war?" I'm so proud. So this guy looks at them. "Sorry, we learn nothing of your war." He says, "What do you mean? What, you really think that this is something that that happened it's got anything to do with logic or with learning something? It was a miracle. It's not something that we can learn. You know, it's impossible and it's nothing. And we need the goy to tell us that it is a miracle. You understand this?"
Unfortunately, so yes.
And that's exactly why our sages said, "We will put a candle. The candle is the light. And there was a miracle with the light, but that's not the important miracle. The important miracle is that God helped us to get to take away the darkness of the Greek culture and win the war, even though we were few." And few meaning not only from the physical point of view, also from the spiritual point of view. If you will check how many people were mityavnim, how many people became
Jews,
how many Jews, become Greeks and embrace the Greek culture, you will be amazed. The majority of the people did it.
Until they came out with the laws that you can't, what were the 5 laws that they had? That against the Jews, and then the Jews started to think, you know, psychologically, this is what Rabbi said, that if it's forbidden, it must be good. So I forgot what the law was, forbidden
Brit Milah.
Brit Milah, and
to study Torah.
Yeah, there were 5 of them, and then they started to, and the same thing's going to happen today, like in America, with the assimilation. They're assimilating, and anti-Semitism is lifting its
ugly
head.
What did we say in the beginning? Bayamim ahem, bazman hazeh. And that's exactly something that we have to put in our mind.
And that's what's
going to
bring the Jews maybe back somewhat, is anti-Semitism.
This is exactly what we have to understand and realize. This is not an history lesson. And it's not a story about the Maccabim winning a physical war. And that's why our sages did it so cleverly. And that's why they ask, Mai Hanukkah? Tell me, what is Hanukkah all about? Because if you tell me to light a candle, and then in Alei Nisim, you write nothing about it, what does it mean? It doesn't mean, because the real miracle or the real victory was not the light of the candle that he was lit for 8 days. It's a nice miracle, but that's, what does it mean? The idea is that Am Yisrael was saved.
For an extinction.
For an extension, of course. And this is the miracle. And the symbol of it is the light, because the light is there to light the darkness. And what is the darkness? You see, one of the problems that people don't realize is that the Greek culture and our culture are very similar. And that's what is written, by the way, Yafyafit leYefet vaYishkan beOalei Shem. Yefet, which is Greek, will dwell in Shem. What is Shem? Us. In other words, he is so close to us that he's going to be inside us, and is inside us. All the modern culture is based on the Greek culture, the Hellenistic culture. That's what it is. They were so clever.
But it's totally secular, the Greek culture. It's totally secular.
What do you mean?
There's no spiritual.
By the way, they're very spiritual, because all the philosophers, the biggest philosophers, are Greeks.
Yes, but the...
See, in Greek it was, are you spiritual? Like, you get to the highest level in spirituality, or you're very physical. There was no middle. But that's not the problem. The problem is, what you're saying is close to the answer. The problem is that they put the human body, the human flesh, right, in the center.
Right.
And you... And you, whatever you can take.
And the spirit.
And
the
Am Yisrael put
the neshama.
Put the neshama, put God in the middle, or put Am Yisrael in the middle. Not me as an individual, but us. In the Greek culture, it's you. Whatever makes you good, feel good, do it. They also have, let's say, hospitals. They also help people. They also have a lot of things that we have. But when it gets to the point that there is a problem with what I want, what will win?
Community.
And that's, it's like, I think Kennedy said it. It's not what the country is going to do for you. It's what you can do for the country. And that's exactly the thing, the idea, the difference. So, when you come with a culture like this, you have a problem. You know, when you look, sport is sport. Sport comes from the Sparta.
Yeah.
Whatever you're saying, you have Olympiada, it's the Olympic Games, it's also from the Greek. Whatever you look, all the culture, all the modern culture is built on the Greek culture. So in other words, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that's why the Greeks couldn't understand that we looked at them as darkness. They were the light. They thought it was the light of the nations. Music, culture, theater, clothes, everything.
Yeah.
All the joys of life.
Democracy. And you
come, democracy also. They come here with all those unbelievable ideas, and those Jewish nation is telling them that they are dark?
And they made Milit Milah, you know, this is an offense for them.
It's
because the culture, the body.
Yes.
How you can make
the body is the temple.
Yes, how you can cut a piece of
in
the body.
In Sparta, if it was a baby, they killed him.
Yeah.
Killed him. That's it. So in other words, Avraham Avinu said it already to Avimelech. Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom azeh v'haraguni al dvar ishti. You have manners, you have culture, but there is no fear of God. And if there is no fear of God, you've got nothing. Because the minute that is going to fear with your own desire, you will become beast, as we saw in history.
German.
As the Germans, like the most polite, cultured nation in the world, become the worst animals that worse than animals
that ever lived,
that's right. That ever lived on the place of earth. So in other words, this is exactly our fight. This is where it leads to. The problem is that right now we are so involved in it because we are so surrounded with it. That's why we need Hanukkah. We need the light of Hanukkah to tell us the story. Look and understand what is the real light and what is darkness. Like this guy, which I told you also before, that comes the first time to a movie and he sees all those figures in the dark and he's got to say, why did he sit in the dark? I want to see better. I've got problems in my eyes. So the next day he comes with a big torch. The minute the dark comes and they start the movie, he turns on the torch on the screen, and what happens?
He doesn't see it.
There's nothing there. And everybody's shouting, turn off the light! Turn off the light! And this is exactly us. We are living in a movie. Sitting in the darkness, looking at all the things around us. And the minute that somebody turns on the light of the Torah, what do we tell him? Turn off the light! We enjoy life! That's not life. It's a movie. It's not real. The only real thing is the Torah. There's nothing else. And this is exactly the idea of Hanukkah. And this is exactly our parsha when we look at it. It's so strange things happening there. People don't see right. They don't see the right picture. Because in order to see the right picture, what is Joseph telling? Elokim ya'anetcho. God's got the solution. Only if you go in the way of God, then you can find the right solution. You can see the right thing. So I hope that the light of Hanukkah will help us to see the right thing, because it's getting more and more difficult. This is a world full with that. It's so easy today to get whatever you want. Not like in the old times. Like all those joys of life, it's so easy to get them. Now, I'm not Chas v'Sholom saying you should suffer. I'm Baruch Hashem, I also try to enjoy life. And you should enjoy life. But you have to know what is the real thing and what is what is the truth and what is the lie. What is more important? What is the important things in life? Or why do you do all the things you do? And that's why we need the light of Hanukkah. Because the light of Hanukkah shows us what should we do with what we've got. You see, when we've got money, we've got health, we have to use it in the right way. You should enjoy yourself, but when you enjoy yourself, you do it for what? In order to have the power to do good. To do good, you're a fellow man. It's not only me. It's like one of the halachos of Hanukkah says, if you've got oil to light Hanukkah candles, lemehadrim min hamehadrim, which means every day you will light 1, 2, 3, 4. But your friend, your neighbor, which is not a part of your household, because if it's a part of your household, it is also being yotze with your candles. But it's not one of your household. It's your neighbor. And he's got no oil. So you're better off. Share your oil with him. And you will be only doing the basic, which is ner ishu beito, only one candle every night. But your friend will also light a candle. But I want to be lemehadrim min hamehadrim. Why should I give him? Because the halacha says that in this special case, it's good to be lemehadrim min hamehadrim. And if I give him, I cannot do the lemehadrim min hamehadrim. That's when they don't be a tzaddik on the account of somebody else. This is also wrong. And this is the way we should look. As we say, the Greek put me in the middle. The body.
Egocentric.
Am Israel puts God in the middle. And God, by the way, the Kabbalah says, God is the klal. What is the klal? All of us. Everybody. Zadashim.
Go ahead.